I appreciate so much your listening today to the Ministry of Sermon and Song, and I do hope that you will pray that God will use this ministry. It's nothing but just the plain preaching of the Word of God, nothing fancy, nothing flamboyant about it. We just simply have a good gospel song or hymn, and then we preach and try to teach as we preach the Word of God. And at the present time, we're just going verse by verse through the salvation book in the Bible, the Gospel of John. So open your Bible, if you will, to John chapter 9, and we're there at John chapter 9, and here we have one of the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ performed when he was here upon this earth. Now, we have spent a lot of time in the last programs talking about the proof that Jesus is God, that he was the Son of God sent to die on the cross to save us from our sins. We have made strong emphasis, as the Bible does, that that is the only way. Jesus is the only way that a man can be saved. A man can only have eternal life through Jesus Christ. He can only have his spiritual eyes opened by the Lord Jesus Christ opening his spiritual eyes. And that is exemplified for us here in the miracle of this blind man in John chapter 9. Now, of course, we'll not be able to take the whole chapter in one program, but let's begin to read and get started, and I hope you'll be able to stay with us from day to day. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. That means he was born blind. Everybody knew that he was blind. Everybody knew that he was born blind. And here Jesus passed by and he saw him. Oh, how precious it is to know that Jesus does not let anything go unnoticed. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. God knows everything. God sees everything. And God is all powerful. Now here we have Jesus paying attention to the fact that this blind man is there. Now there were many blind people, I'm sure, in Israel and down in Samaria and where Jesus traveled. I'm sure there were many. But this one is a particular case, and this one Jesus noticed particularly. And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him. Now all Jesus did was recognize that he was there. He saw him. Then his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now it was a common belief in those days that whenever somebody sinned, that it would show up in their children. In fact, the Old Testament says that the sins of the fathers will be delivered to the children certain generations following. I didn't look that up, but that's certainly there. Now, they said, "Who sinned? Here's a man blind. Somebody surely must have sinned. One of the parents or somebody surely sinned, or this man would not have been born blind." Well, of course, it shows the ignorance that not only these disciples had about how God deals and works and the plans of God, but it also points up to you and to me that sometimes we can ask very foolish questions, questions that are not relevant at all to the truth of the matter. Now, look, the disciples said, "Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Which one of them sinned that caused that, or did this man sin?" Well, of course, this man could not have sinned because he was in his mother's womb and he was born blind, so it certainly couldn't have been his fault if that kind of thing was prevalent. And I think perhaps it is prevalent and was prevalent that the sins of the parents can be passed on to the children. Not in the sense of the guilt of that sin. Let me hasten to say that. Not in the sense of the guilt of that sin, nor bearing the guilt of that sin. I don't have to pay for the sins my father committed. My dad, I'll say it that way. I don't have to pay for the sins my dad committed or my mother committed. But they could have committed sins that would have affected me in my life for the rest of my life in one way or another. You can readily see that is a strong possibility. You take a child, and I hate to say this, this is a terrible thing and an awful illustration, but it's the first thing that comes to my mind. You take some person who, some woman who has been on some sort of drugs or several kinds of drugs, and she has become with child, with having taken these drugs, continues to take them, and the child is born addicted to these drugs. Well, now, that's the sin passing on to the child, but the child does not have to pay for the parent's sin of being on drugs. So these people believed that children had to pay for the sins of the parents in some sort of physical way. Well, Jesus answered. Now, here is a particular case, and I think if you listen closely and read closely, you can see this is a particular case. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned." Well, certainly he didn't mean that the man was sinless. If he had lived very long, he certainly had done something that broke the law of God. And breaking the law of God, the transgression of the law, is sin. And so surely he had sinned. But when Jesus uses this expression, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents," certainly his parents were not sinless either. He was talking about this man is not blind as a result of their sin. Now, it doesn't take a great deal of interpretation to see that, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, he said, this has happened to this young man, this has happened to him, so that God could be glorified and the works of God could be made manifest. So what's about to happen now was in the plan of God to bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord God of Israel and of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was about to perform a tremendous miracle upon this man who was born blind. So now I think we have it straight. His parents were not sinless, but they had not sinned and caused this problem. The man was not sinless, but he had not sinned and caused this problem. This blindness was in order that God might be glorified. Well, my dear precious friend, a lot of things that happen to men today can happen. I'm talking about physical illness or impairment. It can be there to bring glory to God. It is not necessarily because of sin. It can be there to bring glory to God. And you've got a bunch of renegade preachers running around over the country saying that, you know, if a person is sick, it's because they've got sin in their life, or if a person's got some sort of malady or problem with their body, it's because they've got sin in their life. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. It's entirely possible for sickness or pain or some sort of an infirmity to come to a man or a woman simply that God might be glorified. That's very plain, very clearly taught in the Bible. Now you say, well, then you're accusing God of bringing sickness? No, I'm accusing God of allowing it to happen that his name might be glorified and might be honored. Now we'll move into that area a little bit more on the program tomorrow. I do hope you'll be with us. But the main thing is, do you believe that Jesus is God? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you placed all of your faith in him completely and entirely, not depending upon yourself or your religion or your good works, but depending entirely upon him for your salvation? If you haven't done so, right now is the time to do it. And if this is the first time you've heard the program and you need further help, please get the address and write, and we'll help you in any way that we possibly can.